Born in Turkey, Pinar Toprak loved Westerns and Superman, even memorizing the dialogue of that film with Christopher Reeve in Turkish, as it was dubbed there. She also has a love of music, and that led to a composing career. And this is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. With her love for Superman, she got a dream job, composing music for the series Krypton. After getting her college degree at age 19, she even worked for Hans Zimmer's production company. But here we talk Krypton.
Great to talk to you, and I've actually seen the first two episodes, so I've already heard your work, and it's great. I love everything I see and hear, so it's good so far.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Well, first of all, I'm going to say this because, you know, it actually is something that pisses me off, but you're only the second composer in the DC universe with Shirley Walker working on Batman, the animated series. And actually, I know that women have worked in the music departments and have worked with composers and as composers for years, and yet we don't hear about it. And I think, frankly, it's a crime. So it's really a shame.
I agree. I completely agree, but hopefully they're going to start changing that soon.
Yeah, me too. I think there's an interesting wave going on right now that's for women. I think it's only positive, so I'm really happy about that.
Likewise.
Yeah, so Krypton, I mean, this is not your first venture into the DC universe, which we'll talk about later, but what was kind of like your orders on scoring this particular series?
The main thing was that we didn't want something that we would perhaps expect to hear.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to do something that's different. So that was the first thing. So trying to figure out, okay, because when you say, okay, you do something different, different can be a lot of things.
Yeah.
Very specific. So that was the first thing. But luckily, what happened was I got a call on a Friday night, exactly about 3 months ago. They were looking for a composer, and I had an opportunity to demo a few scenes from the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that weekend basically to do it. And I had a conversation with our showrunner Cameron Welsh. That was kind of what we talked about, doing something different. But because I didn't have a lot of time,
yeah,
which is a wonderful thing. Sometimes when you have a lot of time, you start second guessing yourself. And I literally just wrote the first thing that came to my mind or what I heard.
Mm.
I created a few different sounds, and I tried to stay away. In the later episode, in the first couple too, we ended up having some more strings and brass and more epic moments because it's just so cinematic. It definitely called for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to make sure that the musical vocabulary had some unique sounds. And same thing with, like, even for Brainiac and whatnot, I wanted to make sure it's not necessarily what you would expect to hear, but it's just more of a weird collage of sounds that you would identify with Brainiac as soon as you would see it.
Yeah. Oh man, Brainiac. Man, when I saw him, that's cool. He is a really good representation that really, you know, from the comics, but if you look at him originally, he wasn't as scary. This guy's scary. So it's cool.
Oh yeah.
More with Pinar Toprak talking the Man of Steel in a moment.
So did you use any other kind of instrumentation as the series moved on, incorporating different sounds and instruments?
Absolutely. Especially episode 5, we added some vocals, which was a beautiful touch. It really brought some humanity to it. And it's one of my first, I feel like all of these episodes are wonderful in their own way, but definitely on the 5th episode, take a quick listen because there is some special moments in there. Throughout, we've done, for example, in the Krypton bar scenes.
Yes.
We needed some source music, so to speak, like
that's
what
right.
You would hear that's playing in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't just, you know, in normal shows, you could just go license a rock, pop track, something, and put it in there. We're not going to do that, obviously, on Krypton. It's an entirely new thing. So coming up with sounds and ideas about, okay, what would the cool kids on Krypton be listening to? and so just, I definitely had a lot of fun with that. I also use this instrument, some of the cues. It's called an A-frame. Oh. It's a letter A frame. It's really cool. It looks like, if you guys Google the instrument,
yeah.
It looks like the Superman symbol. It's a really cool electronic percussion thing, but you can use it to design really unique things. So I had a lot of fun messing up some sounds with that one. And I literally bought it the week that I found out I was hired on the show. I was at Samash buying some things, and I went to the drums and percussion department. I was looking at it. I was like, I want something unique. I told the person that was working, I was like, oh, I got to show you this thing. As soon as I saw it, before I even listened to the sound that it makes, I was like, okay, I'm going to get it because it looks like a Superman symbol. Okay, it's got my name all over it. So I used that. And again, we definitely do, because it's just such a cinematic show,
yeah.
You're going to hear strings and brass and really, you know, some epic moments because it just needed that. But yeah, I'm having fun.
Well, speaking of epic moments, I am a little bit of a spoiler here, but it was so cool, and I can't emphasize this enough. There's a moment where we hear John Williams' Superman theme incorporated into this, and man, that was just... I jumped up and down. It was just fantastic. It was really well used, and you did a great job with it, too.
Thank you. We have it on two spots.
Yeah.
The first episode. That's the only as much as I'm going to say. But
yeah.
It was tricky to find out. The last one was kind of, we knew that was the case, but the, figuring out the moment for the first one, I was happy that that worked out well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great moment for any fan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So how much time do you have between episodes to score?
Usually, it's 1 to 2 weeks, 2 weeks being maximum. But when I have 2 weeks, I kind of think of it as like having 10 days for two episodes each.
Does that
make sense? So
yeah.
Just kind of try to break it down. But usually about a week, and we have anywhere between 31, 32 minutes to 38 minutes of music on each episode. So it's a lot of music.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, Superman kind of lends itself to that a little bit because... It's the series is such a big scope, you know, so you really kind of have to have that to kind of balance things out. I mean, the
Absolutely.
Sets and everything are just phenomenal. I was really surprised how much work actually went in to kind of look like the same Krypton as in Man of Steel, but a little bit, you know, obviously way before, so it's not exactly the same. So I like that part of it. That was really well done.
Yeah, the sets are all actually built, and the details are amazing.
Yeah,
they're not, you know, all the roads, everything that you see, they're all built actual sets.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you, as a composer, do you like to do your own orchestrations? And I guess you have to, but do you like to conduct the orchestra yourself, or do you have somebody that you have for that?
I've done both. Lately, I'm conducting more. I do love conducting because, you know, what I do is such a lonely job for the most part. My
sure.
world is just sitting alone in a room.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my only chance to experience music in a group, sort of be part of the band, so to
yeah.
speak. And I do love that very much. There are advantages to being in the booth and having someone else conduct. Sometimes it's a bit of a time saver, so I can hear, especially on scores, that if I have a lot of other pre-records and things, just to be able to hear the final result and concentrate more on that. Sometimes it's a bit of a time saver, but I love that first moment. You hear the music that I wrote in my pajamas come to life with an orchestra. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. So it sounds like you probably, like most composers, they have a home studio.
Yes, and I there was a time I didn't. This works well for me because I work odd hours, and
yeah.
It's just nice to be able to get out. And, you know, if I can't sleep one night, I'm like, oh, I better off finish that cue than just laying in bed. So it's handy.
Absolutely. So you also worked on Justice League, which is the big DC latest movie that came out. What did you do on that?
I wrote additional music for Danny Elfman, who's wonderful. I've been such a huge fan of his music.
Yeah.
Probably one of his biggest fans for years. So it was surreal in every way to be part of that. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Can you say what you did? Did you write, like, for some of the scenes or fight scenes and things like that?
Yeah, I wrote several scenes on the film. Not sure if I'm supposed to say exactly which ones, but I basically.
That's cool. So, yeah, I mean, obviously the scope of that film is a lot bigger than Krypton is, but that's cool.
The process is the same, you know, it's picture and you try to make the best of what you see and bring out the best emotion. So it's the process is the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's true. It really, really is. And you've done some work on Falling Water as well?
I did. I actually worked on the entire first season.
Oh, nice.
Of Falling Water, yeah.
More with Pinar Toprak, scoring the series Krypton.
How was that experience?
That was great. It was very different, very soundscapey, trippy kind of score. But I really liked the show. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a great show. Really great show. And you've also ventured into video games, too. From what I know about video games, in particular Fortnite, which just came out last year, but you probably have to write more music than you would for a TV show or a movie, for example.
True. But the structure is a bit different. You know, we have to think about how, you know, the different stems being like different instrument groups, so to speak, how they will, because they would take, for example, the brass or the percussion or strings and have it develop a certain way depending on the gameplay. So the music has to be able to loop and evolve or, you know, go in either direction depending on the gameplay. So there's, they definitely, you know, I wrote 70 minutes or something, I can't remember, but from that 70 minutes, they can make way longer minutes out of it from the stand. I love working on that game.
Yeah, the games are, it's another way of telling a story, the way I look at it. Really, the only difference is you kind of go along with it instead of being a passive viewer. You're involved. So I like that. You know, gaming is fun.
What I love the most is, for example, when you watch a film, you'll watch it once, and if you're a soundtrack fan or so of the film, you'll, you know, experience it again. But with video games, the fans, they live with it every day, day in and day out. So they're really devout fans, and they know the score so well. They know everything. So it lives on for much longer. Mm-hmm. That's the part I love.
Now, rumor has it you're working on a biography of you're scoring a biography of Cecil B. DeMille?
That's in development. Mm-hmm. Down the pipeline.
Oh, but so you are going to be involved?
Hopefully, yes.
You know, the opportunity presents itself to also do period piece music for that, because it really, I guess his life really starts in the 20s all the way up to the 50s, I think, when he passed away. So that should be interesting. Yeah. To say the least. And it's old Hollywood, too, so that should be really cool.
Exciting.
Now, when you score, what's the instrument that you'd like to write on? Is it a piano, or now there's, you know, software where you can actually write things on a tablet, for example?
Everything that I write, it's my keyboard inputted into the computer. Because of the turnaround time, I'm classically trained. And ideally it would be great to be able to write everything down. It's just because I need to write and show it to the directors, producers, pretty much that day, everything has to be really well produced and almost final sounding when I mock everything up. So everything is inputted in the computer, and I use my keyboard for that. I'm also a classical guitarist, so anything that requires guitars of any kind, I usually play those myself.
As you should. If you're a classical guitarist, you should. I mean, that's awesome. That's great. So how has technology, you know, changed what you do these days?
I think technology is wonderful as long as you're the master.
Yeah.
As long as serving you and not the other way around, which means that you need to learn your craft really well. I'm a bit of a geek. I love learning new things and finding out cool ways of doing things to help my workflow faster. The software that I stare at every day for many hours a day is Cubase. I love it very much, and all the, you know, I have this touch screen thing where I programmed a lot of macros and things, so it makes writing really fast. My main goal has been, when I set up my templates and whatnot, is to write as fast as I can here in my head. Mm. So I try to catch up to that. A lot of times I when I write music, I kind of hear the full orchestration in my head. Cool. And then sometimes, you know, if technology is not fast enough, it can be frustrating to input all that information. So I do whatever I can to make that process as fast as possible.
So you were a classical guitarist. How did that lead to composing, especially in film and television and video games?
Film came first. Because I grew up loving films, and my father was a huge fan of American films. So in growing up in Istanbul, that was my childhood, watching American films. I wanted to write for as long as I could remember, but I didn't even really think. There weren't many examples of people like me doing this in here, so I didn't even think it was a possibility for quite some time. And I was at the conservatory. I started as a violinist.
Nice.
That wasn't my instrument. I love the violin very much. I love writing for it. I switched to classical guitar, and I love playing it. But I always wrote. I wrote songs. I wrote short form things. I really loved. That was my way of communicating. But I didn't necessarily think that, you know, being a film composer was something I could do. I wanted to do it. But everybody said I couldn't do it. So I think it was probably around high school when I really thought, okay, I wanted to come here. That was the first call. And I did that. I was 17 years old.
Wow.
And I started Berklee College of Music at 17. My major at first was piano performance because I really didn't, you know, everybody kept telling me I couldn't do this. So I should be smart and get a degree in something else that's more useful. During my first semester, I basically made the decision and switched to film scoring, and I figured I'd rather fail by my choices than succeed by others' choice, as I always say. So that was the turning point. First semester at Berklee, when I kind of decided, okay, I'm going to do this, and let's see what happens. And I never really had a plan B. I never wanted to be something else. There was just brief moments in my life where I doubted whether I could be this.
Sure.
But I never really wanted to be something else.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad because, you know, you're doing some great work and love what you're doing on Krypton. I mean, that is just, the music has a cinematic score to it. And I did catch the music in the bar and it was kind of cool. It's like, imagine you have to write Kryptonian pop, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, how do you write Kryptonian pop? You know, it's like, it's weird, but you did it and it totally fits. I go, hey, that doesn't sound like anything we have. So, you know, that's cool.
Cool. Yeah. Accomplished. Wonderful.
Yeah. But, you know, it's great. I mean, I'm an immigrant myself. I wasn't born here. I was born in Cuba like Ray. So I love to tout, you know, immigrant experiences like yours. I mean, this is what really makes America great, is to have people bring their culture over and bring their experience. And look what you're doing. You're doing some great work. So, you know.
Thank you.
I mean, anybody that puts down immigrants really pisses me off. So I'm all for that, and we shouldn't restrict it. Our doors should always be open to people that want to come here and do something better with their lives. And that's awesome. Yeah. It really is fantastic what you're doing. And I think you've been at this a while, but I really think that you're starting to build up some steam now after, you know, doing this, I guess, almost, longer than 8 years now in scoring. So,
thank you. Technically, not to be, I moved here to Los Angeles in 2000. So in some capacity, I've been working in this town for 18 years.
Yeah. I hear you. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy for a male composer to do it, but a woman as well. I mean, I'm sure you encountered some raised eyebrows here and there, and which is a damn shame, but people don't, you know, people need to have their stereotypes shattered, and I'm just glad that that you're doing it, and you're certainly worthy of it, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else is in store on Krypton this season, and I hope they come back, too. We'll see what Sci-Fi does with it.
Thank you so much.
Great to talk to you, and looking forward to seeing what you do this season, and best of luck with everything you're doing, and it sounds like you have some cool things coming up, too.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Krypton is available on Apple TV, Google Play, Vudu, and Amazon. You can also watch it for free on Tubi TV, probably with commercials, customizable podcast playlist, exclusive videos, and special episodes like the Mix 100 and Rewind as well. All this and more at Sci-Fi Talk Plus, now with 1,000 episodes uncut and a special offer for free lifetime access, available for a limited time. Click on the link in the show notes. No anonymous signups are allowed. Thanks for listening. This is Tony Tolato.